Hotep, everybody. Hey, this is Michael M. Hotep, founder of the African History Network and host of the African History Network show. Here is the podcast I did from Thursday, November 29th, 2018. Okay, dealing with Texas school children will learn that slavery was the central cause of the Civil War, which is different than what they're being taught right now. Before we get to that, just very quickly, I want to let you know that we have a current promotion at our website, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. Get 20% off your orders of $100 or more. Use the promo code AHN20OFF2018. That offer is running through Monday, December 3rd. Okay, we have the information at our website, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. Get 20% off your orders of $100 or more. We also have a new bundle pack. You get the 10 online courses that are on demand that I teach, as well as the 6 DVD Black Panther bundle pack. It's a bundle pack now on sale for $80, regularly $180. The 10 online courses that are on demand, including Understanding the Transatlantic Slave Trade, what they didn't teach you in school, and the 6 DVD Black Panther bundle pack, which includes 3 of my lectures dealing with the film Black Panther and 3 other presentations. So you can give some of those away as gifts and keep the online courses for yourself, or you can give the online courses as a gift as well. For more information, email us at customerservice@africanhistorynetwork.com. For that, customerservice@africanhistorynetwork.com. And those in the Detroit area, Saturday, December 1st, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, I will be at Greater Emmanuel International Church of God in Christ for Grits and Politics. Grits and Politics, and we're looking at midterm elections in Michigan. And where do we go from here for African Americans? Okay. Grits and Politics, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, 19190 Schaefer Avenue, Detroit, Michigan. Greater Emmanuel International Church of God in Christ. Visit our website, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com, for more information. AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. Here is my podcast from Thursday, November 29th, 2018. All right. How's everybody doing? Hotep. Hey, this is Michael M. Hotep, founder of the African History Network, host of the African History Network show. I'm a talk show host, researcher, lecturer, and writer. It is Thursday, November 29th, 2018. We're broadcasting here on Facebook Live, our Facebook fan page, The African History Network, The African History Network. So everybody, share this broadcast on your Facebook page. Invite your friends to tune in also. Okay, so I wanted to talk about this story that I saw. FaceToFaceAfrica.com had an article about this, and then also NPR. And it's from a couple of weeks ago. And this deals with history being taught in the state of Texas, okay? And specifically the history of slavery being taught in the state of Texas. FaceToFaceAfrica.com just had an article about this November 26th. And what happened was, is that the way the history of slavery is taught in the state of Texas is going to change, okay? And let's see, we're going to post this here on the thread of the broadcast. How's everybody doing? Share this broadcast on your Facebook page. Invite your friends to tune in also, okay? And then we'll tell you about the new bundle pack that we have going on. It's a combination bundle pack and online courses also, all right? Okay, so there's, you know, back in February this year, there was a 52-page study from the Southern Poverty Law Center dealing with called Teaching Hard History, American Slavery. Teaching Hard History, American Slavery. And it dealt with how the history of slavery in this country is oftentimes mistaught and over-sentimentalized as well, okay? And how students is often sentimentalized, and how students are alarmingly misinformed about the history of slavery. So if we look at this article from
face2faceafrica.com. It talks about how after years of downplaying the role of slavery in the American-U.S. Civil War, the Texas Board of Education has finally voted to upgrade slavery as a central cause of the U.S. Civil War, all right? Now, this is important because when you look at the study that the Southern Poverty Law Center did in their study, Teaching Hard History, American Slavery, and here's a copy of the study here. It's a 52-page study. You can download it from the website, splcenter.org, splcenter.org, or just Google Teaching Hard History, American Slavery, Teaching Hard History, American Slavery. When you look at the study that they did, a survey of 1,000 12th graders across the country, they found that only 8% of 12th graders knew that slavery was the cause of the Civil War, the central cause of the Civil War. Only 8% of 12th graders knew this. 32% of 12th graders, only 32% knew that it took a constitutional amendment to legally free the enslaved Africans, which was the 13th Amendment. And then 35% of 12th graders surveyed thought it was the Emancipation Proclamation. 35% thought it was the Emancipation Proclamation that legally freed the enslaved Africans, which is not true because the Emancipation Proclamation didn't free the enslaved Africans. It did not end slavery. Okay, so and only 46% of 1,000 high school seniors, only 46% knew what the Middle Passage was during the transatlantic slave trade. Okay, so there's clearly something wrong with the way history is being taught in our schools across the country, as especially the history of slavery, all right? So for the longest time, pupils learned that the war was caused by sectionalism, which dealt with, and sectionalism deals with the northern states having the factories and the industries and things like this and the textile mills, et cetera. And the southern states having the large plantations, okay, and the fights that take place over that as well. But so for the longest time, pupils learned that the war was caused by sectionalism, states' rights, and slavery in that order. Sectionalism, states' rights, and slavery in that order. But a new proposal presented in September of 2018 sought to change this by indicating that slavery was the only cause of the Civil War. And when you actually read the 52-page study, okay, Teaching Hard History, American Slavery, people need to download this, share this with your children, take this into the schools, because what this study does, and you've heard me talk about it before, it systematically goes through and identifies how the history of slavery is being incorrectly taught in our schools all across the country, not just schools with a predominantly African-American population, but I just mean schools, period, across the country. Then it talks about how to correct the way the history is being taught, all right? So the proposal to change the curriculum to acknowledge slavery's central role started back in 2017. When a group of educators, academics, and other community members came together to make changes to the curriculum. Goes back to 2017. One of the most controversial results of this effort was the deletion of Hillary Clinton and Helen Keller, okay? And Helen Keller, the miracle worker, there was a movie made in like the 1970s or 80s about Helen Keller. I remember watching that with my mother, and Helen Keller was, she was blind, and she learned sign. I think she learned sign language, things like this, right? Helen Keller, as names to be studied. These were deleted as names to be studied. Okay, now this change was reversed. However, now after deliberation, the board, the school board there in Texas decided that students will learn, quote, the central role of the expansion of slavery in causing sectionalism, disagreements over states' rights, and the Civil War, end quote. Now, the decision has been met with mixed reactions, with one of the board members named Lawrence A. Allen Jr., who's a Democrat, saying that it is a start even when the Texas natives do not necessarily agree on the topic. While the Texas Freedom Network acknowledged some improvements, it highlighted that some of them were, quote, muddied by other distortions, end quote. Okay. Now, this whole misunderstanding about the history of slavery goes into the history of the Civil War, goes into the history of Reconstruction, 1865 to 1877, which goes into Jim Crow segregation and Plessy versus Ferguson, 1895, which renews a whole era of terrorism against African Americans, and rampant lynchings and things like this going into the early 1900s, which then goes into World War I, 1914 to 1918, which then brings you 1919, the Red Summer, where you had over 25 major race riots across the country, okay, which then takes you into 1928 and the Lily White movement and the Republican Party and Herbert Hoover, who was the Republican candidate for president, who's going to win the presidential election. And the Lily White movement was a whole movement in the Republican Party to push African Americans out of the Republican Party, to ignore our issues, ignore our concerns, ignore the rise of the Ku Klux Klan, which was reinvigorated by the movie that came out February 8, 1915, called The Birth of a Nation. And African Americans are going to, over a course of years, transition from the Republican Party to the Democratic Party because more of our issues and concerns were being met by the Democratic Party, and we're being pushed out of the Republican Party because of this Lily White movement. This leads to the Brown versus Board of Education, 1954 Supreme Court desegregation case, which then brings about a backlash in the South with the White Citizens Council being created in 1954 in Mississippi, and you have a rise in the number of private schools that are being opened in this country, white private schools, because white parents in the South did not want to desegregate the schools, and they create this whole voucher system, to give vouchers to poor white families who can't afford to pay the tuition to the private schools and let them come in to lock out African Americans because you have a rise in the private schools because these Southern states do not want to desegregate. It was Senator Cindy Hyde Smith, who just won the election in Mississippi, who went to one of these segregation academies, and she also sent her daughter to one. Her daughter graduated in 2017. So this history is current, okay? Even though these things take place in the past, to understand what exists today, you have to understand a sequence of historical events that lead you up to today, so you understand how to what course to take for the future to correct the problems of the past. So you have to understand a history, a sequence of historical events to understand all of this, okay? All right, so this is why what's taking place in Texas is so important. And I'm not saying it's perfect, but I'm saying it's a big step, and it has to take, this change has to take place all across the country. How's everybody doing? Okay, everybody share this broadcast on your Facebook page. Invite your friends to tune in as well. Okay. And we're going to continue here. And let me post this here on the thread of the broadcast also. We have a new bundle pack. We know that Kwanzaa is coming up. Some people celebrate Christmas as well. And this is a perfect gift. Give the gift of empowerment and education. So we have the Black Panther, it's a 10-course online bundle pack and a 6-DVD bundle pack. You get a combination of online courses and DVD lectures from me. And all the courses are on demand. And it's on sale right now, $80, regularly $180. It's $180 value on sale, $80. So we posted that right here on the thread of the broadcast. And we also have it at our website, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. Okay. All right, let's continue here. Okay, so So how was slavery central? How was slavery central to the cause of the U.S. Civil War? Now, the Civil War is 1861 to 1865, okay? And, you know, when I was given that chronology of history, of course, I skipped over a number of things, right? You go back to the 1854, the Kansas-Nebraska Act of 1854, which left up to those Americans moving out west in the Western territories, it left it up to them whether or not they wanted to have slavery in those new Western territories, as opposed to it being dictated to them by the U.S. government. The Kansas-Nebraska Act directly leads to the Republican Party being founded in 1854. And the Republican Party was the counter to the Democratic Party. And we know in 1860, November 6, 1860, the candidate for the Republican Party named Abraham Lincoln became president-elect, okay? And it, 6 weeks after that, on December 20th, 1860, South Carolina secedes from the Union because the Republican Party was the party of abolitionists. It was formed by groups of abolitionists, and they feared that Lincoln was going to free their enslaved Africans. Okay, so this is going to lead to the Civil War. You subsequently going to have 10 other states that join the Confederacy, and in April 12th, 1861, you have the attack on Fort Sumter in South Carolina, which starts the Civil War. Okay, so we have to understand this history. So slavery in America dates back to the 17th century, the 1600s, and what they refer to as America, they're dealing with the 13 colonies, which were British colonies, with the institution seeming to lose its popularity after the American Revolutionary War. Now, American Revolutionary War, 1775 to 1783, when many enslaved African people fighting for the British against the Patriots for their freedom. However, by the turn of the century, slavery as an institution started thriving again, especially in the southern states, thanks to the production of cotton. And it's going to be the creation of the cotton gin and copies of the cotton gin in the early 1790s that is going to really revolutionize the way cotton is produced and the way that the seeds are taken out of the cotton, which makes cotton more profitable to produce. Okay, and increases the demand for enslaved Africans as well. Then you have the Louisiana Purchase of 1803, where because of the Haitian Revolution and the Haitians beating the hell out of Napoleon Bonaparte, France almost goes bankrupt. So they have to sell the land that they have here in this land we call the United States of America. So the U.S. gets 828,000 square miles of land for less than 3 cents an acre. They get it for a total of $15 million. And they're going to carve out about 15 states out of this new land. Okay, now some of the states are going to be free territories. Some are going to have slaves. But this gives new land for the U.S. and planters and slave owners to plant crops, things like this, which also increases the demand for enslaved Africans as well. So the adoption of the cotton gin by many plantation owners called for the increase of laborers, many of whom were enslaved African people. These slaves also worked in other plantations that grew tobacco, hemp, and corn, and other crops as well, okay? So these made a lot of landowners in the South very rich, and by the mid-1800s, slavery became a vital part of the economy. The Northerners felt that slavery was unethical and should not be allowed to thrive, and thus came to the contention between the two factions, okay? The debate between the North and the South. It was against this background that many white Southerners did not want the institution of slavery to be abolished. They fronted many arguments, including that, quote, Black people, like children, were incapable of caring for themselves, and that slavery was a benevolent institution that kept them fed, clothed, and occupied, end quote. When we go back and we look at the minstrel shows, start with T.D. Rice, Thomas Dartmouth Rice, who was a white entertainer around 1828, 1829, creating this Jim Crow character. And he put on tattered, torn clothing. He put on blackface and adopted a Southern dialect. And he danced and imitated what he thought was the way enslaved Africans acted. So then you're going to have, this becomes popular. You're going to have all these other white men who do this. And they put on blackface. They imitate enslaved African people. And they're showing them as being childlike, dim-witted, ignorant, things like this. And minstrel shows become one of the most popular forms of entertainment in this country. It moves to radio in the 1920s with Amos and Andy. And you had two men, two white men, Freeman Gosden and Charles Correll, who were the creators, and they were the ones doing the voices of Amos and Andy. Sometimes they were performing blackface also. Okay, but this was all, but during slavery, this was a way also to justify slavery, because they were showing African Americans as being childlike and being ignorant and being docile and obedient and things like this. Okay, so you're going to have, from the Jim Crow character, about 1820, 1829, you're going to have these other characters, the mammies and the uncles and all this stuff, all these negative stereotypical images of African Americans, you're going to have created by the South to justify slavery. And the argument that the South was making was that slavery, the peculiar institution, was a system that had checks and balances. And it kept the slaves were taken care of by the master, and they were fed and clothed and things like this. And it kept them from running wild, and they wouldn't be able to take care of themselves on their own. And they produced crops that then can be sent to the North. And if you have a benevolent slave master, then the slaves were almost like a part of the family. This is the myth that the South was pushing to justify slavery. 1852, Harriet Beecher Stowe comes out with her novel called Uncle Tom's Cabin, which really exposes America to the horrors of slavery, okay? So this is one of the things that leads up to the Civil War. The book Uncle Tom's Cabin, which comes out in 1852, helps to galvanize the abolitionist movement as well. Now, the election of President Abraham Lincoln in 1860, he became president-elect November 6, 1860, saw the secession of 11 Southern states, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, where the public hanging woman, Senator Cindy Hyde Smith, just won the U.S. Senate race, right? Mississippi, South Carolina, Texas, Arkansas, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. Now, just like the United States, these Confederate states had their own government and symbols of sovereignty. They were called the CSA, Confederate States of America, Confederate States of America. In this new nation, slavery would be protected. When you read their statements of secession, okay, their statements of secession make it very clear. They were seceding from the Union, okay, to maintain slavery. And they talked about how slavery was central to their way of life, okay? And the Atlantic.com has a good article dealing with this, and I may be able to find it here in my notes. It's one dealing with, I think, why the Civil War was fought, something like that, from the Atlantic.com, okay? And they have excerpts of the statements of secession from some of the states that seceded from the Union, okay? So you can check that out. Check out the Atlantic.com, why the Civil War was fought. All right, let's continue here. And it may be in this one here, this other notes. Yeah, why there was a civil war, the Atlantic.com, May 1st, 2017. Why there was a civil war? Because the Civil War was fought over slavery, quote, our position is thoroughly identified with the institution of slavery, the greatest material interest in the world, end quote. Mississippi declared as it seceded from the Union. Quote, the people of the slaveholding states are bound together by the same necessity and determination to preserve African slavery, preserve African slavery. This is what the state of Louisiana said in their statement of secession. Quote, the servitude of the African race as existing in these states is mutually beneficial to both bond and free, and is abundantly authorized and justified by the experience of mankind and the revealed will of the Almighty Creator as recognized by all Christian nations, end quote, insisted Texas in their statement of secession. Read this article from the Atlantic.com, why there was a civil war from May 1st, 2017, because when you study why, when you read their statements of secession, they talk about preserving slavery because slavery was tied to their way of life. Okay, now, so back to this article from the Atlantic.com. How's everybody doing? Okay, share this broadcast on your Facebook page, invite your friends to tune in also. All right, and if you like this type of information, you can also donate to the African History Network, paypal.me/the AHN show. paypal.me/the AHN show. Okay. And we have a current promotion running right now as well at our website, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. Spend $100 or more, get 20% off your order. Use promo code AHN20 promo, AHN20 off 2018. Okay. AHN20 off 2018. We'll post it here. That's going on until that's running through Monday, December 3rd. All right. So, okay, let's continue here. All right. So what followed was the amassing of weapons and building up an army, but they were not able to match the Union army. Okay. When we talk about the Civil War. Okay. So in this new nation, slavery was protected. The Confederate States of America, Jefferson Davis was elected to be the president of the Confederate States of America, the Confederacy. Now, what followed was the amassing of weapons and building up an army, but they were not able to match the Union. The Confederate States also tried to get recognition from Europe, hoping that cotton production would help sway matters into their favor, but to no avail. The war set off in 1861, but after a series of losses, the Confederacy collapsed in 1865. So the Civil War ends officially June 2nd, 1865. Now, they go on and talk about the study that I talked about from the Southern Poverty Law Center, a study released in February 2018 by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Southern Poverty Law Center's Teaching Tolerance project indicated that there was a failure to teach the nuances and accurate history of slavery in the U.S. The report highlighted that not only are students not adequately learning about this section of history, but also teachers are not well equipped to teach the topic also. Okay, so you can read this article. I've talked about some of this in the past. Download that study from the Southern Poverty Law Center, because this helps us to better teach this to our children at home and in the schools as well. Let me show you this here, because we have some of the information here in the presentation, PowerPoint presentation. Okay. And then NPR, National Public Radio, had an article about the one from the Southern Poverty Law, about this, what's taking place in Texas as well. They have an article about it also, which is really important, okay? All right, we'll come to that in just a minute here. Okay, let me show you this, because I have it up now. You know, I don't want this to freeze up. How's everybody doing? Let's go to this here, okay? All right, so this is from the article from theatlantic.com. And let's see if this will come up here. Okay, this should come up. Hold on. All right, and it deals with, let me do a slideshow. It deals with the study from the Southern Poverty Law Center, which ties right into this topic here. Okay, what are kids learning in school? And let's try this again here. Okay. So what are kids learning in school? All right. And a new report finds that the topic is mistaught and often sentimentalized, and students are alarmingly misinformed as a result. Okay. Now, this statute here, this is called the Lincoln Emancipation Statute. It was paid for by enslaved people and erected in Washington, D.C. in 1876. So this is the year before, Reconstruction ends. And it has been criticized for representing the history of slavery from a paternalistic perspective, okay? So let's continue. Let's look at this quickly here. All right. So I talked about this. Only 8% of 12th graders could identify slavery as the cause of the Civil War. And the reason why this is so important is because these are people who are going to grow up to be politicians, police officers, judges, hiring managers at corporations, CEOs, et cetera, okay? So when you have a faulty understanding, right, of history, then you really don't understand how we got to this point. So when it comes to things like reparations, when it comes to things like affirmative action, when it comes to the report just came out 2 days ago from the Brookings Institute, which talked about how the value of African-American households is about $609 billion. The value of African-American homes is about $609 billion, but how they are devalued because of redlining and things like this, and because of historical inequities, why there's a lack of a wealth in the African-American community. So seven problems with the current way slavery is taught. They talk about how we teach about slavery without context, preferring to present the good news before the bad news. We tend to subscribe to a progressive view of American history that can acknowledge flaws only to the extent that they have been addressed and solved, when a lot of these flaws have not been addressed and solved, okay? And a lot of times when you deal with white supremacy and racism, people don't even want to have this conversation, but that's intrinsically tied to slavery. Three, we teach about the American enslavement of Africans as an exclusively Southern institution, when at one point all of the 13 colonies owned slaves, including New York, because that's where Wall Street is. And before it was a New York colony, it was a Dutch colony called New Amsterdam, and at the northern portion of the colony, they forced enslaved Africans to build a wall to keep out Native Americans and things like this coming in and try to attack them. And that wall is where Wall Street gets its name from. The first commodity traded on Wall Street were enslaved Africans. I've interviewed Professor Kabahaya Wapakamane before. He's in the Hidden Colors documentary. He's one of my teachers, and he talks about how originally it was called livestocks and bondage, livestocks and bondage. Today it's called stocks and bonds. Originally it was called livestocks and bondage that were traded on Wall Street. Today it's called stocks and bonds. Now, we rarely connect slavery to the ideology that grew up to sustain and protect it, white supremacy. We often rely on pedagogy poorly suited to the topic. When we ask teachers to tell us about their favorite lessons, when teaching about slavery, dozens proudly reported classroom simulations, which can psychologically damage our children. When you have them portraying slaves, right? That can psychologically damage our children. Simulation of traumatic experience is not shown to be effective as a learning strategy and can harm vulnerable children. Number six, we rarely connect slavery to the ideology that grew up to sustain and protect white supremacy. All right, I talked about that. We tend to center on white experience when we teach about slavery. And the study recommends using slave narratives to talk about slavery from the perspective of the enslaved, as opposed to talking about slavery maybe from the perspective of a benevolent slave owner. Okay. All right. So these are just a few things that the study talks about. And quickly, when we look at the online courses that I teach dealing with ancient Kemet, the Moors, and the Ma'afa, understanding the transatlantic slave trade, what they didn't teach you in school. You say turn up the sound, please. I think you may have to turn up the sound on your end. Okay. Can you all hear me okay? The volume is low. I don't know why the volume is low. I'm not sure why the volume is low. Yeah, I don't know why the volume is low on this end. Let me testing. Let me check the mic. Testing 1, 2, 3. Switch on the computer audio. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Sound check. Can you hear me better? Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, so the volume looks all right on my end. I'm looking at the mic. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. It's the same volume that I usually have. You can barely hear me. Try to refresh your screen. If you can barely hear me, refresh your screen, okay? Because it's the same mic volume I always have. All right, let's continue here. Okay, so some of the things we deal with, we have the 10 course online bundle pack. The courses are all on demand and includes Ancient Kemet, the Moors, and the Ma'afa, Understanding the Transatlantic Slave Trade, what they didn't teach you in school. This is a 14-hour, 7-session online course that I teach, and it's all on demand, okay? So with the current promotion we have right now, you'll get this 10-course online bundle pack. You'll also get the 6-DVD bundle pack. It's a Black Panther bundle pack of mine and includes 3 of my lectures dealing with the film Black Panther, and then also just 3 other presentations. Okay, but the online courses are all on demand, watch from around the world. And here's some of the things that we deal with when we deal with understanding the transatlantic slave trade, what they didn't teach you in school. What was the transatlantic slave trade? What were some of the events that led up to it starting? What role did Christopher Columbus play in the transatlantic slave trade? Because Columbus was crucial to the slave trade spreading. Okay, his 4 voyages, and I'll show you where he went on his 4 voyages. He never came to the land that we call the United States of America. He never came to the land we call the United States of America. The closest he came here was Cuba, which is 90 miles away. When did Africans first come to the U.S. as slaves? Because even before Jamestown, Virginia, August 20th, 1619, the Spanish were taking Africans into the territory we call South Carolina in the 1520s. This is 100 years before Jamestown, Virginia, okay? But we also deal with the African presence in this country going back at least 51,700 years ago. And Dr. David Imhotep deals with this in his book, The First Americans Were Africans, Documented Evidence. The First Americans Were Africans, Documented Evidence, which is one of the sources that I use to teach the online courses. Now, we do a PowerPoint presentation. We have video clips, articles, et cetera. Did Africans sell themselves into slavery? We deal with that complicated history because it's not like we were actually taught. Were African people in America before the slave trade? Yes, we were. This was our land stolen from us. We've been here for tens of thousands of years, going back at least 51,700 years ago, who are the Khoisan, who come from Southern Africa. They have the oldest DNA on the planet, and they go all around the world, okay? And they were here. We deal with the 800-year occupation of Europe by the Africans known as the Moors, which is crucial because we deal with the transatlantic slave trade chronologically. We deal with ancient Egypt, ancient Kemet. We deal with the Moors who are in Europe 800 years, and they take the teachings from ancient Africa, especially ancient Kemet, into Europe, which brings Europe out of the Dark Ages. Before you can talk about the transatlantic slave trade, you can't start in 1440. Or 1441 with the Portuguese, you have to deal with that 800-year occupation of Europe by the Africans known as the Moors that set Europe up to be able to sail, that set up the transatlantic slave trade, that lead to it happening. Shocking, we deal with shocking archaeological discoveries that are causing experts to rethink everything. The role insurance companies play in the transatlantic slave trade and slavery on the plantations. Insurance companies that took out policies on slave ships and enslaved Africans on the plantations. We do a Freemasonry because the teachings that the Moors introduced into Europe are going to lay the foundation for Freemasonry, okay? And we know 50 of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence were Freemasons. Freemasonry, America and the Founding Fathers, origins of the term America and Africa, and a lot more. We do with Asar, Aset, and Heru, who the Greeks called Osiris, Isis, and Horus, links to ancient Kemet, ancient Egypt, and Christianity, the fake Willie Lynch letter, 1712, the problem with slave movies and why we are being bombarded with slave movies and a slave-themed TV show. So this is just some of the type of information we deal with in the online course. And then we definitely deal with Dr. David Imhotep's book, The First Americans Were Africans, Documented Evidence, and the African presence discovered in 2004 in Allendale County, South Carolina, that dates back at least 51,700 years ago by Dr. Albert Goodyear, who's an archaeologist at the University of South Carolina. And we deal with other discoveries as well, okay? All right, so this is, okay. So this is on sale right now. So that's the online course that I teach, and it's all on demand. Watch at your own pace. We have it in a 10-course online bundle pack, all right? And also we included the 6-DVD Black Panther bundle pack. So it's all on sale right now. It's on sale $80. It's $180 value. It's on sale $80. At AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. We'll post the link again, and we have it posted here on the thread of our broadcast. And also we have a special promotion spin. Get 20% off your order of $100 or more. Use the promo code AHN20OFF2018, okay? And we have that at our website also, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. Spend $100 or more, get 20% off your order. That promotion is running through December 3rd, okay? Be sure and download the study from the Southern Poverty Law Center. Read through it. Take these to the parent-teacher conference meetings. Take these to the school board meetings, because this study here helps to lay the foundation and make the argument for the change that we're seeing take place in the Texas school system. And one out of 10 students in this country are part of the Texas school system, okay? 1 out of 10 students in this country are part of the Texas school system, all right? Okay, so look, hey, we got to get out of here. Those in Detroit, Grits and Politics is coming up this Saturday. I talked about it yesterday on Keith Williams' show. Saturday, December 1st, Grits and Politics, we're going to look at what happened in the midterm elections and look at what African Americans need to do next. 19190 Schaefer Avenue, Church of God, Greater Emmanuel International Church of God in Christ, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And there'll be a panel discussion also, okay? I'll be on the panel Saturday, December 1st. Visit our website, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com, for more information. Breakfast will be served as well. They're just asking for donations. I have to get out of here. Hey, remember, at the African History Network, we focus on educating, empowering, and inspiring people of African descent throughout the diaspora and around the world, because right knowledge corrects wrong behavior. It's not over till we win. Wakanda forever. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.